I have this innate sense of justice and a unrelenting passion for equality. I've experienced discrimination in all kinds of environments, and I don't like it, and I know how it feels. I know that it's not right. So anything that I can do to work toward eliminating those systems, to expanding understanding, acceptance, equality, equity, fairness, justice, that's what I'm about.
Hello, I'm Paul Munier, the Executive Director of the Youth Intervention Programs Association, and I'm a youth worker at heart. How lucky am I? I have the privilege to meet youth workers from around the globe and learn their stories and share them with the entire world. I'm glad you're listening because together we'll learn how their life experiences shape their youth work. As you listen, I encourage you to consider how your experiences shape what you have to offer young people. Welcome to this edition of The Passionate Youth Worker. Hi, everybody. For this episode, we've shaken things up a bit. As you likely know, on The Passionate Youth Worker, we tell stories about youth workers' lives and discover what they bring to the field that's unique to them. It should surprise no one familiar with IPA that our team is comprised of dedicated and inspirational individuals. I think it's time that we give them a chance to tell their stories too. So for this episode, our guest is Barbara Van Dynes, IPA's Operations Director. Barbara makes everything at IPA better. She's a coach, mentor, advisor, and she's a friend to the IPA team and our members too. I'm excited to introduce her to you, the listeners of the podcast. Barbara, thanks for being a guest on the show.
Thank you, Paul. That was a lovely introduction. I really appreciate it. Happy to be here.
Thanks. It's going to be really fun to interview you, Barbara. We've worked together for a long time, but we've never really talked about your story in detail. So I'm eager to learn more about you and how you see the world. So you ready to get started?
I am.
Great. Barbara, you've been working with IPA now for about 7 years, and I don't think you ever thought you were going to be working in the field of youth work.
No.
Can you just quickly tell a little bit about how you ended up being a IPA team member and being in the youth work field?
Absolutely. I do remember it like it was yesterday. And it was because it was such a special moment, really. I read the job posting and it seemed to just have my name written all over it. I can't remember the words of it, but I remember the feeling of it was, this is where you belong. And I really just told myself, you have to get this job. This is what you've been working for. So what led up to that, I had a long, happy career in the corporate world, corporate sales and management. And that had its own rewards. I made great money. I got incentives, trips, trophies, bonuses.
Nice.
So all of that was good.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the management piece of it because I was able to coach, as you mentioned. That's something that I found that I love, and helping other people develop. But I wasn't as satisfied with, you know, it's just selling things. It's not enriching life so much.
Yeah.
And I wanted something that felt like it had more of a contribution to the world, like it had more meaning. And I'm not saying this in a way to demean corporate work. I was grateful for my time, but I wanted something giving back in a bigger way. So I started looking. I started looking for that and wanted it to still have that piece of helping to develop people, because that's what made my heart sing. That's what I got joy from in the job, was helping people who reported to me find their own path and grow and succeed. So that's what the IPA position looked like to me. I thought, you know, I'm not a youth worker. I don't know that they'll have me, but I bring a lot of skills that are transferable. And holy cow, it's a whole community of people who are trying to do the thing that I'm about, you know, make a difference. So that's the story. That's how I got here 7 years ago today.
Hard to believe. It's your anniversary today. The irony that we're recording this on your 7-year anniversary.
Synchronicity.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when you applied and when you interviewed, and I was just thinking somehow we have to find a spot for Barbara, because we knew that you were gifted in so many things in terms of helping the team get better, building our processes, all those kinds of things. You brought so much to the team that's really helped us. And I'm wondering, you know, you talked about that you like helping other people. You get a lot of satisfaction in seeing other people succeed, which is a trait that most youth workers have. So you inherently have that part, Barbara. You had that in you. But where did you get that from? Is that from your family environment, or did you learn that later in life? Or where did you get this desire and this thrill of helping people do well?
Yeah, I think it wasn't at first a desire, it was a responsibility. I'm the oldest daughter in a family of 9 children. So I had a lot of babysitting and caretaking to do of my younger siblings. And I just enjoyed helping them when I could. I enjoyed kind of looking out for them and a little bit of a protector from time to time, and encouraging them, uplifting them, because it wasn't always the most positive family environment. It was kind of heavy on the discipline and absent of shows of affection. So I don't know, I can't say how I developed it into this passion, but I know it always made me feel good to be helping. So I tried to reproduce that feeling in everything that I did going forward, tried to look for that feeling.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I wonder if it was actually kind of a response to the fact that when you were younger, you didn't have that kind of encouragement or that positive environment around you. I know you and I have talked a little bit about your story, and it wasn't always so positive. Matter of fact, it was kind of negative most of the time.
Right. Yeah.
And I wonder
kinda.
If it just,
it was.
Well, I guess it was. I didn't want to put words in your mouth, but it just seems like a reaction. Like you said, I'm going to do things different. I'm going to try to rise above that and be a better person or set a better example or something like that. Would you say that was part of it too?
Yeah, absolutely. Because for me, I knew that I didn't deserve negative things that were coming my way. I hadn't done something to earn that particular punishment or blame or shame. I hadn't done something. And so when it occurred to me, it was like going inside and asking, you know, well, what did I do? I didn't. So I didn't let it diminish me, right? In fact, I just committed myself to staying on my good path. I was still going to do me in the best way that I could, even if slings and arrows came my way. So yeah, it was just a turning decision, I think, a choice, I'll call it, that I won't become what I'm being accused of being.
It's a great example of how we have the ability to frame our behaviors and our reaction to the world around us. We don't have to be cast in stone, and our family environment doesn't necessarily always have to define who we are.
Right.
And you're a wonderful example of that, because you have come out of the end of the developmental years just the opposite of what it seems like your family was like. You're so positive and you're so helpful to people. And I'm just grateful that you're part of the team and you're part of the youth serving community, because you bring a skill set that a lot of people who are youth workers don't have. We didn't come from the corporate world and live in that environment of structure and processes and standards and legalities and all those kinds of things. What have you found to be similar about the corporate world and the youth work field? And what is really different about that?
Similar, everybody has a mission, right? Everybody's got goals and they're all striving toward that and working to get buy-in from everyone associated. So whether it's your company or your department or your section or your nonprofit, everyone's working to get buy-in of all the folks there so that you're all moving in the same direction for the same purpose. That's the similarity. The difference is, from my experience, I'm not speaking for everyone, I think that in my experience, corporations cared more about the bottom line than the actual people. I do believe there's a shift occurring. I hope it continues because people are the corporation, right? The corporation doesn't exist without people. So I've seen more of a caring for people kind of mentality or approach, philosophy to the nonprofit world. And I very much appreciate that particular difference. I wish the pay was more similar because honestly, in lots of ways, the work is so much more difficult to avoid burnout, to stay with it in difficult times. It's like teachers, you know, they're severely underpaid and they're doing our most important work, right? So I wish that was more similar, but I know all the reasons it's not.
Yeah.
We just keep working to improve it.
You are a youth worker at heart. There's no doubt about it. You have such a lens on equality and such a lens on fairness. And the difference between right and wrong is so crystal clear to you, and it just never seems to waver. That, I think, is true in a lot of youth workers. But one of the ways I think you're different than the typical youth worker is that you're so direct in your communication.
I mean
that not in a negative sort of way, but it's really different. People in the human services industry tend to tap dance around difficult issues sometimes and have a difficult time being just real direct and saying what they need to say. But you just speak your mind so clearly. And I'm wondering, have you found that to be different? is that different than the business world?
No. I took some communication training, and there's a particular communication or behavioral model called the DISC model. And that there's four quadrants that people fall into typically. And so the quadrant that I'm in, the direct thinkers and speakers, is only about 10% of the population. So it's not different in the corporate world, but you would tend to see more of the 10% in the corporate world. They're drawn to that. They're driven for that sort of achievement than I've found that I personally have encountered in the nonprofit world so far. The ones in the nonprofit world tend to be the largest percentage of the population. They're that more stable, steady, family-oriented, caring type of individual, not corporate climbers, you know, not striving in that sort of a way, but definitely giving and nurturing and supporting. There's a similarity because that's a broad view of people, and people work in both of those realms. So,
got it. You know, we're almost at a point, well, we are at a point where we need to take a short break. But when we come back, I would like to ask you some of the things you've learned about yourself and some of the things that you've acquired along the way now that you're in the youth work industry. So we'll be right back after this short break.
No matter how you support our young people, the Professional Youth Worker powered by YIPA has your training and learning needs covered. Visit training.yipa.org. That's training.yipa.org to see for yourself and then join the thousands of youth workers around the globe who learn from our easy-to-access exceptional trainings. From our blogs to our podcast, the Professional Youth Worker is your go-to resource for tools to help you keep going, keep learning, and keep growing. Members enjoy free unlimited access to live online and on-demand trainings and a preferred discount pricing for our one-of-a-kind certificate course. Annual memberships are ridiculously affordable for individuals and organizations. Visit training.yipa.org today to learn more. That's training.yipa.org.
Barbara, right before the break, I was saying I'd like to tap your brain a little bit about what you've learned in the 7 years that you've now been a youth worker. And I say that with a bunch of pride because it's wonderful to have you with us. What do you think is the most valuable lesson you've learned in your 7 years of working in the field of youth work?
Oh, the most valuable lesson. There are many, but the most valuable is that I have learned to appreciate what it takes for a person to be a youth worker. I mean, I don't exaggerate when I say that I am in awe of people who do this work.
Yeah.
I mean, I stand in awe, the challenges that they face every day, the difficulties of working with people. I am aware of that, but working with young people in particular and not, you know, jumping into a kind of a parenting role with them, just being a support to them, just being there for them. That's a remarkable, remarkable gift. So what I have learned is that youth workers, people who do work with young people, are, in my opinion, the most amazing people.
Barbara, I share that sentiment. I consider myself so lucky to be working on behalf of people who day in and day out are working directly with young people and facing some of those challenges that you've described. Sometimes these life situations of these young people are really difficult.
Right.
And it can be incredibly hard to stay positive and stay hopeful. But we see them do it all the time, right? We talk to them. We see the trainers. We have our members we talk to all the time. They are amazing people.
Right. The most amazing people. And so many of them that I've talked to feel like friends, right? They're just kind. They're giving. They're personable. They're fun, right? It's so great to work in such a committed community. I'll just put it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. It is great. We are lucky. And we say that all the time, don't we, Barbara? We talk about how lucky we are to be doing what we're doing and supporting these wonderful people. Now that you've been doing it for a while, I'm wondering if there's one thing you could change about the field of youth work. You've been exposed to it quite a bit with all our different members, the different types, all the ways from mentoring programs to police departments to mental health agencies. If you're Queen Barbara for the day and you had a magic wand and you could change things, what would you do?
Honestly, I would have people understand the value of the service and the people who perform the service.
Yes.
I think it's vastly misunderstood or just not in people's consciousness. And I think if it were, it would be adequately funded. It would have awesome benefits and living wage. And it would just be like the greatest gift to ourselves if we would acknowledge the value of this service.
I agree. You think about the economic and social value that youth workers provide and what that means to our communities, what that means to our economy, what that means to our public safety, what that means to just our innovation as a society, our willingness to produce people that have wonderful skills and allow them to develop that. It would just change everything, don't you think?
Absolutely. And the ripple effect of it. I mean, so if you're the youth worker and you're making a difference, you're breaking a pattern or something that's wrong, you're interrupting that trajectory, and then that person goes on and succeeds. Think of the benefit of that. I mean, they don't have to be a youth worker when they go on to have that kind of impact, but that's the impact that youth workers have. And so, yeah, I just think it's so far reaching when you really consider it.
Yeah. You've been doing this for 7 years, and I'm thinking, what do you now know that you wish you knew when you started 7 years ago that would have just helped propel you into your deeper understanding or your ability to help others?
Yeah, I know that you have spoken to me. You see it differently than I do. But my answer to it is, I wish that I had had direct youth service experience. It took me longer to get myself into the shoes of a youth worker, so to speak, because I didn't have their direct experience to relate to. Definitely, they had my utmost respect and admiration from the get-go. But to really get a sense of, it wasn't until I was visiting programs and really interacting with youth workers that I got into those shoes. You know, that seemed to be my missing piece from my point of view. But once I locked in on that, you know, it was easy then to translate. Okay, I know how to help. Okay, I know what they need in a way. I'm not trying to say I know what they need, but I know how to relate to the kinds of things that they need, and I know how to help supply that, make that available. And I think YIPA does that on a very large scale.
It goes to show that the youth work field needs all kinds of personalities and all kinds of skill sets in order for it to function. In order to help young people, not everybody has to be a direct service provider.
Right?
We need people that have different skill sets that could be an accounting or fundraising or marketing or whatever that is that helps an organization function at its peak ultimately is what's going to help young people. And I think that your ability to adapt to this new realm of industry or culture that you're in has really been phenomenal. You have brought so many gifts to the team and helped YIPA move forward with building processes and standards. And all those things are so critical to helping young people. So even though you've never done direct youth work, you are as much of a youth worker as anybody I've ever met. And I've done this forever.
Wow, that's a high compliment.
Yeah,
thank you.
Because you care so deeply for young people and you care so deeply for just people in general. And that's the main attribute that people have to have. Mm-hmm. How would you define success in your work today, Barbara? How do you know you've done a good job?
I know I've done a good job when other people succeed, when other people achieve something they're working toward, and I've had a hand in it. When I hear about a place where someone might have been struggling or trying to make progress, and I was able to help give insight or advice or pointers or anything that I've done, it isn't that I do it for me. It's the reward of seeing others take off and run with it, right? Seeing that play out in real time is what gives me my greatest satisfaction. Knowing, even if I don't get that feedback directly, I know that what I do makes a difference.
Yeah. What do you think about you, Barbara, that is unique, is your best attribute you bring to your work and bring to the YIPA team and bring to the youth work field? Ooh. What are you most proud of that you can contribute?
Oh, that is a difficult question to answer because I like everything about me. And
I know you said that funny, but that's true.
I know, I do. Yeah, I'm proud of me. I like my stuff.
That's cool.
So yeah. So I think one really important thing is I have this innate, it feels to me like an innate sense of justice and an unrelenting passion for equality. You know, I've experienced some forms of discrimination as a gay person, as a woman, as a previously kind of overweight person. I've experienced discrimination in all kinds of environments, and I don't like it. And I know how it feels. I know that it's not right. So anything that I can do to work toward eliminating those systems, to expanding understanding, acceptance, equality, equity, fairness, justice. That's what I'm about. I think that is a real strength that I personally have that I'm really very proud of and keep working to improve on.
When you just said improve on things, that was going to lead right into my next question because you do seem so comfortable with who you are and so comfortable in your skin. That is one of, I believe, your greatest attributes that you bring to the human race, so to speak. But I know that you're always looking to improve and get better and always adapting. And I'm wondering, because you're such a person that's committed to self-growth and continuous learning, what is one thing you're working on right now, Barbara, to make yourself better?
Ooh.
Just one.
Just one. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Just one that I'm working on right now is about, I don't know how to phrase it exactly. So there's currently an overabundance of bad news all around us. And I can be quite affected by this kind of pain-inducing, trauma-triggering, you know, the cruelty of people right now in particular, and the unfairness, to be honest, the racism, the hatred. I can fall into a darker place because of that. And so right now I'm working on limiting my exposure because I don't function well if I don't stay positive, right? And it would be pretty easy. It's just like an avalanche covering you. It would be easy to be covered right now. And so what I work on right now is not being unaware, because I can't close my eyes, right? I can't look away. I have to see, but I don't have to be drowned by it, covered, consumed by it. So I'm working on that. That takes some work. And the way that I work on it is oftentimes reading poetry, seeking out inspirational people and ideas. So a lot of TED Talks are a good way to go. People that uplift, I seek them out for that reason, to counteract all the other kinds of people stories that I see too much of.
Yeah. Well, those are wonderful traits to work on, and so timely, because we are getting bombarded with bad news, and it's easy to see it everywhere you turn. And somehow we have to become better consumers of news. Mm-hmm. And that is a great trait that we all need to learn. Cool. And I think we could be so much kinder to each other if we weren't just so bombarded with all the bad stuff. Yeah. But now we got election season coming, Barbara, and the negative ads are all coming out, and it just keeps coming at us. And I just think youth workers have to face that when they're working with young people, because the young people are getting exposed to all this stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly right.
Yeah. Well, Barbara, thank you for being a YIPA team member. I learn from you, and I have grown as a result of being lucky enough to have you on the team. And I'm grateful for everything you do, including writing the show notes for the podcast. So if you're a regular listener and you read the show notes, that's Barbara who writes them with her excellent writing skills. And I'm so grateful you decided to say yes and be part of the YIPA team. And you do feel like you belong here, and we're grateful that you are. So thank you for doing everything you do. And I'm so grateful that you decided to also be a guest and tell your story on the podcast.
Thanks for the opportunity both ways, Paul. Really appreciate it. I'm honored to work with you and the YIPA community. It is the pleasure of my professional career. Yeah.
That is cool. Before we go, Barbara, I always like to give the guest the last word, as you know, because you listen to everyone.
I do.
But what words of wisdom or inspiration would you like to leave with our listeners?
Well, I have two thoughts, a longer thought and a short thought that I want to share in terms of that inspiration. First one, let go and grow. I think of this in two ways. First, it reminds me personally to stay curious about what's working for me and also what I need to let go of, what it's time to release, let go, move beyond, grow. Because I am motivated to, like you said, I'm always trying to be the best version of me that I can be. That gives me great pride, and I work at that. I try to let go of old habits, outdated ideas, negative self-talk, so I do take action to revisit and revise those things. That's why I say, let go and grow. The second way that I think about that idea of let go and grow is it's a more general reflection on the art of youth work. I think that youth workers stand in that space where young people are trying to figure out their own identities, to find their own way in the world. So there's this, you know, it's youth development. There's a natural pulling away from parents a bit. There's a stretching of their wings. There's testing the increasing boundaries, their independence. And right there beside them is a youth worker that has been through it too, and is willing to just kind of be I think of it as a bridge in that space, right? Their caring presence and steady encouragement really lets people know it is okay to let go and grow. So that's the two ways I think about that. My second great inspiration is go for a walk. Get outside, go for a walk, notice everything beautiful, because there's a lot of it out there. Go for a walk.
If you would like to share your passion for youth work, we'd love to spotlight you as a guest. If you have feedback about the show, please let us know. Just visit training.yipa.org. That's training.yipa.org, and click on the podcast tab. This podcast is made possible in part due to a generous contribution from M Health Fairview. I'm your host, Paul Munier. Thanks for listening to The Passionate Youth Worker.